Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beer writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Got an off day Hot Lava Podcast coming at you. Kind of, I don't call it an emergency pod. You know, it's not like one of those, like some off-season trade or trade deadline or something like that. But the Padres are kind of, you know, they're spinning out. They're crashing out, as the kids say. I think I used that appropriately, or maybe I didn't. But Ryan, where would you like to start with these Padres?
Yeah, let's start right there. Kevin, my guess is on this podcast, we're not going to talk a whole lot about the Colorado Rockies. Padres opened a three-game series in Denver. Probably not going to talk about the Colorado Rockies pitching or hitting or execution. To me, this is a Padres problem. And they are coming off a sweep at the hands of the Baltimore Orioles, the team with the second worst record in the American League. Before that, they were in Minnesota, where they lost two of three, did not play particularly well. Their starting pitching is struggling. Players keep getting hurt. Jason Adam is now done until next season with a ruptured quad tendon. Bad things are happening, Kevin. Before we get into those bad things, is it time to panic yet? On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned should we be?
I mean, a 5 or a 6, and if you told me you were at a 7, I would say, okay, I got you. I've tried to offer a lot of perspective recent days in the newsletter, but also saying, yeah, like especially with the state of the pitching, which is probably a subtopic or a different topic. It's a subtopic. But there are definite reasons to be, if not panicked, because that's never productive. As if anything we say or fans worry about is going to change anything anyway. But there's some things that are going wrong, and there's a couple that you go, well, how's that going to get fixed, right? Because I have offered the perspective that every World Series team, and that's everyone, in August or September has gone in a skid. And most go into some sort of 9, 10, 12 game stretch where they have a losing record in September. And then they go on to play in them and win the World Series. So, like, imagine that. Just put yourself then in the fan base of a team that the Texas Rangers, who had, I think, like a 5-game losing streak, an 8-game losing streak in September, another stretch where they're like 1-7 in September and won the World Series in 2023. Like, what was going on in the minds of the media and the fans in early September? Oh, this team's not making the playoffs. Oh, this team's not going to go very far in the playoffs. And then they won. That's perspective. On the other hand, it could go the other way.
There are also stories about teams that just run out of steam at the end of the season, right? Like, there, for every team that pulls itself out of that tailspin and it becomes part of their championship story, there are teams that run out of gas. And my concern when I'm looking at the starting pitching, and this is, Kevin, I've been watching the Padres since I was, 2 years old. I have concerns based on the way some Padres seasons have ended in the past. And you look right now at the Padres are really thin in starting pitching. The guys who they're running out there are not getting through the fourth and fifth innings. Nestor Cortez got bombed yesterday by a bad Baltimore Orioles team. Yu Darvish got bombed the night before by a bad Baltimore Orioles team. To me, the concerns, I'm at like 7 or 8 with this starting pitching. Where are they now, and sort of what's a reasonable expectation going forward?
So when you talk, I want to make sure clear, because you're making a very good point. As long as we're focused on the starting pitching in terms of running out of gas, because the idea that teams, that there is for every team that this becomes the skid in September becomes a part of their World Series lore, there's another team that didn't, is not accurate just based on that, because they're far enough along that I haven't been able to do the research yet. But this would be one of the worst collapses in history if the Padres don't make the playoffs, just based on record, where they were with 30 games to go and how much they led other teams by even 10 games ago. So that is not like that is not like something that should happen. Now, when you point it toward the starting pitching, you're 100% correct that like this is troublesome, because, okay, we'll start with Nestor Cortez. Or no, let's just ignore Nestor Cortez. He was not going to be a part of a rotation anyway. But you got Nestor Cortez is supposed to be a part of a rotation that gets you to the postseason, right? So, but Yu Darvish, if there's anyone you can have faith in that he's going to find his groove, it's Yu Darvish, but he hasn't. Mm-hmm. And when he misses, he's getting hit far and hard. When he's ahead, he's not able to close guys out right now because he can't find that pitch to put on the edge, right? Like that Yu Darvish does, that just absolutely fools people. So that's a problem. That's a question. Will Yu Darvish become consistent? Dylan Cease, like, I don't mean to be glib, but like, yeah, are we wasting our time to say when's Dylan Cease going to get right?
So is this who he is?
Right. Michael King was really good in May and hasn't really pitched since then. And they don't really know when he's going to. That's not to say they don't know if he's going to. That's to say that what will Michael King bring you? So there's Nick Pivetta and the bullpen. And Mason Miller threw an immaculate inning yesterday. Keeping a game close. Not ahead like Mason Miller's supposed to be pitching. So... yeah, they've had the lead twice after the fifth inning in the last 10 games. They're 2-0 in those games. This is I don't want to be sounding the five alarm fire, but like this is a huge problem.
Kevin, a month from today, the Padres are going to be, barring a historic collapse, playing in the playoffs. Even in a short series, we're lining up a pitching rotation there that right now to me consists of Nick Pivetta, who'd probably start your first game, assuming everybody has the appropriate amount of rest. And then who?
Exactly. That was the three guys that I went over are your candidates. And I mean, you depending on how it goes, like you just may have to run Dylan Cease out there. And you are hoping that Nick Pivetta gave you six innings the day before. But I guess you don't even need to go with that because with the way the NLDS is this year, all the divisions are we're talking wild card.
Wild card series.
Sorry, yeah. I'm back in the mode 2 weeks ago where I thought, oh yeah, the Padres are getting to the NLDS for sure. We're talking wild card. So you're hoping Nick Pivetta gave you six, and that Dylan Cease, first sign of trouble, he's out, man. You have every high leverage reliever on the ready to go, or the two guys that you're thinking based on the lanes of right-handed, left-handed. What do the hitters do? You've got your two guys. They are ready. Practically from the first pitch to come into this game. Mm-hmm. That's what you do, I think. Unless it's Michael King has come back, made four starts, and that's your guy because now Michael King's looking like Michael King, then you know what? We're having a different conversation. They've got their two guys that you're feeling good about, and then you just need to make it through game three if you have to play game three. So then, if Michael King's back and Nick Pivetta's still pitching, then we're going to bitch and complain about the offense.
Well, that's the question to me. I mean, who can – I don't want to say who can we trust. That's a glib thing to say. But who can the Padres safely count on at this point as starting pitching goes? I would almost be more inclined to say Darvish is on the list of guys I trust in a big game as poorly as he's been pitching lately, simply because there's that body of work there, right? You know that Yu Darvish is tinkering. You know that Yu Darvish can get guys out a number of different ways. You know, to me, man, maybe it's Pivetta – Darvish, King, and then maybe you're looking at a new role for Dylan Cease in the playoffs, but this assumes a lot. I mean, Michael King to me is such a huge storyline in the last month of the regular season. If he's back and he's good, they have a puncher's chance to win the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
If he's still hurt, or if you can't depend on him, this changes. I mean, pitching was a strength. I'm not sure if pitching is a strengthening.
Here's why it's so dire. Because you're right. If you have certain guys or Gaia, and I'll say, again, like if Nick Pivetta's still Nick Pivetta, if Michael King's back, if Yu Darvish puts together three good starts, if Dylan Cease puts together three good starts, I'll refrain from laughing because I do have respect for Dylan Cease, but it's so ridiculous at this point to be even thinking about Dylan Cease being good at in this season. You can make it through. Now you need some luck, but with that bullpen they have and the way you're going to manage and the schedule of the postseason. You get two good starts and you just manage your ass off and the bullpen comes through. You score enough runs. You make it through, okay? You at least make it through the first two rounds. The fourth round, you're going to need even a little more luck and you're going to still need good pitching from the starters. But, like, it's the reason it's so dire right now is we can't identify more than one starter to give you five innings. Mm-hmm. That's huge, man. But remember this, and it was, look, don't talk about what happened after the series. because the Padres were never going to beat the Dodgers that year. It just, they had too many injuries, the pitching staff. But remember what happened in 2020 in the wild card series? Mm-hmm. Just talked to Jace Tingler about this the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Starting Craig Stammen in great game three after they lost game one, the big game two they had. Then game three, he's got to come back. He uses nine pitchers. Craig Stammen, and I didn't know this, but Craig Stammen went into that game because he's Craig Stammen, and this is the mind of a competitor. Craig Stammen thought he was in there for a real start when he went into that game. So when Jace came out to get him after like an inning and two thirds, Stammen's like, what's going on? And like after the game, and there's a great picture, and Jace still has it, Casey Alfred took, of Craig Stammen holding up little Jace Tingler in a bear hug. And Stammen asked him about it. And he said, did you want to know? Did you want to know that you, or did you want to think you were going the whole? And Craig's like, yeah, I wanted to think that. Like, that's like, I just thought that was awesome that Craig thought he was going five innings that day. But look what they did there. That's what you can do. Now, a little bit of luck, all nine relievers came through. Like, I mean, that is huge, man. And to have that bullpen is big for the Padres, but there's just got to be another starter.
There does. And you know, we looked at the Dodgers last year. I mean, Dodgers won a World Series last year, you know, by piecing together some bullpen games and without a ton of healthy starting pitching. But they did get
4 and 5 innings, Buehler, Yamamoto, Flaherty. But you're absolutely correct. You know what else they got, Ryan? Offense.
Runs. You know, that was leading right into my next point, which is just because the starting pitching is struggling doesn't mean that the offense isn't, right? The offense can whitewash, and it almost did yesterday, right? Scoring 5-6 runs a game will win most games. The Padres just haven't really been doing that. You saw one really good game in Minnesota, the middle game of that series that they won last Saturday. You know, you saw them score five unanswered yesterday, but to finish a little bit short. The reality is, you know, good, powerful offenses, home runs, 2-run shots, 3-run shots, grand slams, can help whitewash poor starting pitching or at least inconsistent starting pitching, but the Padres aren't really doing that either.
No, and I, it's both ways. Like, let's just remember, it was 2 weeks ago they took 2 or 3 from the Dodgers, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But since then, their victory is over the Twins, where if they'd been able to get into their bullpen the other 2 days,
right,
they would have swept the series. I mean, that bullpen's terrible, mm-hmm, like awful, and they knew it. And when they got to it, the one game, they scored 12 runs. Mm-hmm. And then they held on to win a game where Bryce Miller in Seattle was, 5 or 6 starts back or something, mm-hmm, or 3 starts back or something. Like, he's been battling injuries all year. Mm-hmm. So I want to put in perspective the fact they're averaging like almost 5 runs a game, mm-hmm, during this losing skid. But is it really, like, yesterday when they came back, if that's a playoff team, are the Orioles keeping Cade Povich in to get pummeled in the sixth inning if, right, they're not up by 7? Do you know what, right, I'm saying? Like, that's where it's like, I want to point out the offense is doing its part somewhat. 5 innings of really bad at-bats yesterday. Mm-hmm. We get into the psychology of being down 7-0, you know, before you bat it a third time. But, like, really bad. And then they came alive, but the guy was getting tired. They figured him out. Like, that's what decent offenses do. Like, to make any sort of comparison between what now and the playoffs is, you just can't do it.
Right. And, you know, scoring 5 runs is nice. Scoring 5 runs when you're down 7-0 to a bad team, to me, that's less important than if, say, you scored 2 in the first and 3 in the third, right? It's
you could have, hey, look, you got down 1-0. Your freaking guy escaped when he, you know, could have given up 8 runs in the first, right? Mm-hmm. Nestor Cortez, leadoff homer, mm-hmm, gets out with the bases loaded. You could have scored 2 runs in the bottom of the first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's football season. We last week saw all sorts of struggling teams score a couple second half touchdowns. That doesn't mean they're good, right? It means maybe the other guys let the foot off the gas a little bit. And you saw that a little bit with Minnesota, or with the sweep of the Orioles too. You're right. It's if The Orioles didn't have a 7-run lead. They probably weren't keeping Povich out there. And so, yeah, I mean, to me, that's tricky. Kevin, even if this was a week ago, my counterpoint to you when you say, hey, the starting pitching is struggling. So I'd say, yeah, but look at their bullpen. They've got all-stars galore. 3 all-stars, 4 if you count Mason Miller. That list is down by 1 today because of what happened to Jason Adam. Anytime you see a card on the field in a baseball game, that's season-ending stuff. And I'm not sure I've ever seen a quadricep rupture. A strange injury, a devastating injury for him personally, and something that I think could really burn this team, especially if they can't get length out of their starting pitching. What is the Padres' path forward here? Does everybody move over? What do you do?
Yeah, everybody moves up a little bit. I mean, unfortunately, as much as David Morgan's been impressive, it wasn't to the point where the Padres, you know, were like, oh, yeah, this is our big six, you know? But now he's, you know, you saw it the other night where he came in and it was, what was it, a tie game or they were down 1 or whatever. And that would have been a Jason Adam or a Jeremiah Estrada situation. But they had to go to David Morgan first. And so there right away, we got an idea of what that means is that Mike Schilt has just had this kind of like an extra guy. I mean, heck, having 4 pitchers of that caliber meant he had an extra guy. Not many teams had 3 all-stars, or no one had 3 all-stars in their bullpen, but like to have 3 really good guys that you could count on in any high leverage situation pretty much. And then to have 4, oh my gosh, then to have 5, it was cheating. It was why when you went to other teams, you talked to other people that they were like, the Padres are it, man. Like this is a team. I don't care whatever, you know, I would say about their weaknesses. Don't care. You get into the postseason and like this team can do it. And it was because they had those 5 guys. Well, now they've got 4. That's still pretty good, but not with the double whammy of the starting pitching. And those guys got to get through 5. Then 6, 7, 8, 9, boom. And in the postseason after you get through that wild card, postseason, game day off, 2 games day off. Like, I mean, come on. Like, they can do this. Got to get through the regular season. Those Giants are coming. Now, we I don't know that we have time or at this point the wants to get through. And, heck, we sound silly talking about strength of schedule at this point considering what the Padres have done the last 6 games. But the Giants have a tough road ahead. They're not going to keep going 9-1. If they do, they deserve to go to the postseason.
Yep. And the Mets, I mean, Mets are there, 5 games behind the Padres, but it's 5 games with how many left, Kevin? 100.
The Mets are 1 game behind the Padres.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. The Reds. Now the Reds' only chance, obviously, maybe the Padres lose 2 of 3 in Colorado, which by the way, the Dodgers did last week. And then the Reds come here and, you know, they sweep. Like, now we are having an emergency pod or the scheduled Colorado pod for next week when the Rockies come for 4 is about, oh my gosh, what's the path? What's the path to we're figuring out both the magic number and the tragic number at that point.
Yeah, there are 22 regular season games left. You know, Kevin, just doing the math here. I mean, this is an impossible question to ask you, but how few games could the Padres win over these last 22 and still make the playoffs, in your opinion? Like 8? Could they go 8-14 and still be fine?
It's a great question because it allows you to then say the obvious is like, the answer I think is 10. Okay. Could be 8 though, because then you have to say, well, what do the Reds and Giants and Mets do? That's right. You just have to. You have to go. Padres go 12-10. They're at 88 wins. Are the Giants at 7 or 70? Is that where the Giants are at? Mm-hmm. They have to get 19 wins or 17 wins to get past the Padres because the Padres won the tiebreaker.
Right.
Okay. So right. I think they're at 70 and let's say they have
71. They're 71 and 69.
71. Okay. So they would then need to go 16. I'm not going to get into 3 team tiebreakers and all that yet, but because we don't know what's going to happen with the Padres and Reds, and our most likely tie is Reds, Mets, or Reds, Giants, Padres. But like the point being, the Giants have to do something like, what is that left? 16-6?
Mm-hmm.
They have to do that if the Padres are even just 10-12. That's, and I'm going to just bring out one of my standard things. I get the concept of backing into the playoffs. I get the concept. To me, there's no such thing as backing into the playoffs. Did you get 90 wins? Oh, well, I don't care you lost the last 10. Did you get 90 wins? That's what the season is about. Also, yes, it is true that the majority of teams, the majority, not most, the majority of teams that do well in the postseason finished the regular season strong. They did. Plenty of teams that backed into the playoffs made a deep run into the postseason. It's how are you playing? We are at 22 games. In a way, it's like, yeah, you and I have been saying it for a few podcasts now, which means a few series. Like now we're to where every game is magnified. In a way, 22 games, a long way to go still. Like, you know, like baseball is just an amazing, amazing, amazing sport. It clicks for you, Darvish. Boom, changes everything as long as Nick Pavetta is still pitching well. Michael King comes back and is strong after three starts. Boom, changes everything. Now they got three guys. Like now, what reason we're totally justified in talking in this sort of elevated state of readiness here. What are we at? DEFCON 3? I forget. 5 is okay. 1 is bad. I don't know. 3 is because of all these what ifs. Mm-hmm.
Well, and here's the thing, too. By the way, two quick asides, just Padre history. You know who backed in the playoffs? The 1998 Padres. You know who else backed into the playoffs? The 2022 Padres. Okay. Remember, Kevin, it took like 2 weeks for them to clinch. They ended up clinching on a technicality on a home game against the Mariners in 2022, right? Yeah. I mean, they did. And so, like, nobody looks back and goes, oh, yeah, those Padres. Well, they made the World Series, but what did they do? Yeah.
Why I go so hard. And I look, sometimes I'm not living in the moment because I'm so wanting to tell people to put the moment in historical context, right? But like, yes, it's why I do is because people forget 2022. We're not even talking about 98. We're talking about they backed into the playoffs in 2022.
Yep. Yep. Couldn't hit down the stretch.
And you were forgetting about it when Joe Musgrove was doing this. Like, so long ago. The difference between, is it September 27th, whatever that Sunday is, 28th, whatever, 28th. And yeah. October, let's say September 28th. The difference between September 28th and September 30th might as well be 6 months.
Yeah.
The difference between the final game of the regular season and the first game of the wild card. Yep.
Absolutely. And again, you know, I think there are things that can sort of get the Padres back on rhythm, back on schedule, right? To me, that is, if you can get 5 or 6 innings from a starting pitcher, and man, that is going to be hard. That's a tough ask in Denver, Colorado. But if you can get 5 or 6 innings from a starting pitcher one night, then you have your full complement of guys to go the next night, right? It's about sort of getting back to their path to victory, if that makes any sense. They've shown us over the course of 5 months now how they win games. And, you know, it starts with getting pretty good quality start, playing good defense, running the bases, taking extra bases, doing the margin stuff, right?
There's a little bit of something I want to talk about with you just talked about. By the way, this is not me making an excuse. This is, I mean, it's really bad what's happened with the Padres here against the Twins and the Orioles. The Orioles are something like 7 games above 500, like over the last 80 games or something like that. Like they started out terrible and whatever. The Rockies are no longer on an historical losing stretch and have actually performed well against good teams here. These are teams that are playing really hard, decent baseball at this point. Okay, that's all. That's just to say these aren't rollovers. Also, Nick Pavetta, who has a 17 ERA and 4 starts at Coors Field, is starting tomorrow. That your thing about getting the good starts. So they've got Nick Pavetta. I bet you it's Randy Vasquez in the middle game and Dylan Cease going. I'm not feeling great if I'm Padres fans about this, about getting a lot out of your starting pitching, this weekend. This could be tough. I think the Padres would be better suited to have gotten the Rockies at home first versus on the road, because that place is a freaking wild card. Mm-hmm.
It is. But that said, you know, we've talked about, you know, let's say the Padres need to go 10 and 12 down the stretch. If they go anything near 10 and 12 down the stretch or whatever it would be, I mean, that would be a fairly historic collapse given who is on their schedule. The Rockies, they're playing better, of course. Their winning percentage still starts with the number 2. They've lost 101 games, right? Yeah. They've lost 101 games. You would think, I mean, to me, the Padres are still, all the advanced metrics say the Padres are going to make the playoffs. I find that hard to disagree with. I think that the Padres, big picture, will be fine. But these cracks are starting to form, starting with the starting pitching that struggled.
Yep.
You look at injuries. Injuries are hurting them for the, you know, significantly again, which means no Jason Adam until next season. Xander Bogaerts is out, you know, at least till near the end of the regular season. Jackson Merrill just got back. You know, there are some real things to contend with that could become really big things in the playoffs. I think the goal here is for the Padres to pull out of this tailspin in time to play good baseball heading into October, yep. Right?
Absolutely.
It's crazy. And, you know, we've sort of gone over the pitching staff here, so I'm not going to concern myself a whole lot with the pitching matchups in Denver, Colorado. Starting pitchers probably won't stay out there for long on either side, but it's a interesting place for the Padres to play this weekend, given what has happened to them over the last, don't you think?
It's always a wild card, man. I mean, that's where the Dodgers were after sweeping the Padres, and everybody was like, oh, geez, they're going to go there and sweep. And they're, you know, Padres are going to, well, they went there and lost 2 of 3, if my memory serves.
Yep.
The Giants just swept them at Colorado.
Right.
So, you know, it's a wild card, but it's, you know, like you just said, I mean, you just said it. Like this can't happen. This collapse, because it's not that they're sitting here. Look, they're FanGraphs has them at 97%. FanGraphs runs like 20,000 simulations of the rest of the season, and it takes into account obviously your opponents. They would not be at 97% if their schedule was stocked with Mets and Brewers and Reds, which are the only three teams, and the Reds are down to 500. The only three teams in playoff contention that are left on their schedule. It would not have been 99.6% at the start of the Twins series if it weren't that they were about to face the Twins, the Orioles, the Rockies, you know. So that would add not just the numbers of the standings and all that, the collapse would just be monumental, because it would have come against the likes of the teams that they've been playing. So we're way ahead of ourselves, which is a part of our job. Our job is sort of just like to lay it out and say, here's where they're at. But we're way ahead of ourselves. Like you, I do not think this is an issue, like in terms of getting into the playoffs. I think the starting pitch is an issue getting into and going into the playoffs unless something changes.
Right. I thought the day of the trade deadline, when all those moves were finally announced, I thought that this was a World Series championship caliber team, not a World Series champion, but they had the pieces. I don't know today if they still do. And it's you lose Jason Adam. Xander Bogaerts was hot. And now Xander Bogaerts is either going to be back and just coming off a month off, or still struggling physically. Right. Jackson Merrill, like, to me, there are just some things that have sort of conspired here to shake sort of what I thought was a championship caliber.
And if I had a recording of every, let's call it a media member, let's call it a front office executive when they're being honest, back when their team was struggling before they won a World Series, I would love to hear the types of things that were being said about those teams, because you are spot on, and that's why we play the games.
Yep.
There is zero doubt in my mind that very similar conversations were going on 2023 Rangers, 2021 Braves, 2019 Nationals, 16 Cubs even, 15 Royals, 14 Giants, 12 Giants, 11 Cardinals. I'm going back to all the teams that weren't the 18 Red Sox, the 24 Dodgers, you know, where people were like, oh, well, these teams, you know, they won 108 games, 110 games. I'm talking about teams that weren't the number one seed that had problems, maybe backed in, and went on to win the World Series. 1,000% positive, similar conversations were going on. So just keep that in mind as you're, you know, tail spinning here.
Right. The 2023 Diamondbacks made the World Series, Kevin, after I think they won something like 4 games in a month in, I think it was July of that year. I mean, they struggled too. A quick reminder for Padre fans who might be freaking out, the Padres play the Rockies 7 times in the next 10 days. We could be talking, Kevin, on our next podcast a week from Monday, correct? We could be talking a week from Monday about how silly it was to be so concerned. Because maybe the Padres go something like, let's say they play 11 games between now and a week from Sunday, something like that, 10 games. Let's say they go 7-3. If they go 7-3 during that stretch, this is all but done, right?
They go 7-3, they're back up to 99.7% chance of making the playoffs. Here's the funny part that we're at, because I knew you were going to have a number. So I went, if they go 6-5, mm-hmm. 6-4 mm-hmm. in the next 10, mm-hmm. their playoff chances will probably be up to 99%. Because, and I use this phrase all the time, it's not just wins and losses at this point of the year. It's the page being ripped off the calendar. For those of you who remember when we used to have those kind of calendars, it's every passing day mm-hmm. is a loss of, you know, to some extent for the teams that are trailing. As long as they don't win and the team ahead of them doesn't lose, then you have to go, oh, dang, didn't gain a game today, and today passed. Like, so just the passage of time and keeping your head above water is all the Padres need to do now. I know that's not what they should aspire to, but the reality is you've changed your tune because they were a game up in the National League West 11 days ago. In June, all you were saying is all they got to do is get in the tournament.
Make the tournament.
Yep. You know what's changed? Nothing. Right. Nothing. Right. Now, that's a separate conversation than us talking about their starting pitching and being concerned about it. But they really, time is on their side. And here's why time is on their side and why I don't believe in backing in, like the actual phrase. Time's on their side because they put themselves in this position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, by the way, a point to make, not everybody gets to play the Colorado Rockies 7 times in 10 days. Right? Good teams are playing other good teams, right?
Yes.
It's sort of the law of nature dictates, you know.
The Reds got some tough teams. The Mets have some tough teams. Now, the Padres are one of those that you theoretically say, oh, the Mets have some tough teams. But I think the Mets still have 7 against the Phillies. Like, that NL East is up for grabs, man. Maybe they just played 3 of the ones I was thinking of. So, but they have at least, I think they finished against the Phillies. I think they have the Brewers too. So, like, there's some, yeah. Good teams are playing good teams. The Giants and the Dodgers play 7 times, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, the Dodgers could bury the Giants. The Giants could make the National League West competitive at the top again. Yeah. You know, sort of, I think that if you're a Padre fan, you're probably hoping that the Giants pick off maybe 3 of those games, right? That they go 3-4 against the Dodgers. And then, you know,
I'm just of the mind that the NL West is not going to get – that winning the NL West is not going to get you a bye. And so what's the difference? My mind would be, no, you're hoping the Dodgers pick off the Giants.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But the funny thing is we don't know.
Right.
Like, we don't know which one's going to help the Padres. The Padres have to help themselves, really, for either one, right?
Yes.
By the way, if you're upset about how this is going in terms of like, oh, the Dodgers are losing and the Padres aren't gaining, take a look at the AL West. This is how pennant races go sometimes. It's you want it to be, even though you can still be one and done if you win your final 22 games, you want it to be that your team's super hot. A lot of times, it's which team sucked less in September
that
wins it. Take a look at the AL West right now and what's happening there.
Right. And then you get into a short series and it is sometimes almost like a different team, right? You're not pitching your mop-up guys. You're not playing your Sunday catcher or your Sunday shortstop, right? It's almost like then you've got your best like 18 versus the other team's best 18. The other 7 are just kind of watching, right?
It's a whole different deal. Think about in the season when you're like looking at bullpen and you're going, oh, that guy, you know, they're probably not going to pitch him back to back. He went 22 pitches yesterday. Well, they are in the postseason, mm-hmm. you know, like think that starter. Well, that guy wasn't going to be in. Well, mm-hmm. what happened in the 5th inning? Well, that pitcher wasn't going to be there in the 5th inning. Like mm-hmm. it's a whole different deal.
The people who get frustrated by Yuki Matsui pitching the 8th and not throwing strikes, the people who get frustrated by Mason McCoy starting at shortstop in a pennant race. I'm kind of pointing myself on both of these things. Safe to say, probably neither of those guys are playing significant minutes or any minutes in playoff baseball.
Right. I get it. Like, mm-hmm. Well, Xander Bogaerts got hurt. What are you going to do? I mean, but yes, I do get it. Like, oh, there have been times here recently, especially mm-hmm. Mike Schilt prioritizing defense. I'm not making a judgment there. I'm just pointing out prioritizing defense. where the lineup has not looked as strong as it looked earlier in August. It looked more like the lineup that was a daily source of complaining for several months this season. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Martin Maldonado is back on a minor league deal, though. So that's fun.
What that says more about, and it was this plan from the start, is says more about where Luis Camposano figures into the picture.
Yeah, and Martin Maldonado's options, of which he probably did not have many after the Padres released him.
Well, it was kind of always the plan.
Okay.
It was kind of always the plan. Like, look, the guy's 39 years old. We don't need him. He's not going to get any other offers. And if he's willing to do it, then right before that September 1st deadline, going to get him ready for the postseason if we need him.
If you need him. Yeah, no, that's a good point. All right, Kevin, we've run out of time. I had a really good on-the-spot question for you, but I'm going to save that for Monday. Monday, Padres-Rockies three-game series starting tomorrow, Friday, in Denver. Jeff Sanders will be there, and then Kevin, you will be at home. My guess is like lifting weights and drinking coffee and gearing up for the final 19-game push of the regular season.
That's what you need to do. You need to refresh and get ready, because like I said, like, that's a whole different brand of baseball.
It's almost football, the way every game matters there down the stretch. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.